What is there not to love about Easter Sunday? Amen? The beauty, the promise of a great spring day in Central Texas. The sanctuary is full, everyone decked out in their Easter finery. We're singing the very best hymns from the very best hymnal, the United Methodist Hymnal. Amen? And we're singing them with brass and with choir and soloists and timpani and with pipe organ. Does it get any better than this? I love Easter Sunday, and I love Easter Christians. I do. Because when you get right down to it, we're all Easter Christians, right? I like to think that everyone is a little kinder, a little more gracious on Easter Sunday. Last year, we actually tested this out. We had our usual overflow crowd at the late service. And right after the services, the exit gates in the parking garage, which are supposed to be up so that all of you can leave and park for free on Sunday morning, the exit gates were down. Traffic was backed up in the garage. I wonder if anyone was sitting in their car singing, "Every morning is Easter morning from now on." Do you think? Maybe something more like, "O love divine, what hast thou done?" Right? So, whichever song you come out singing this Easter Sunday, I'm glad that you're here. Because the message of Easter is astounding. It's unbelievable. That love is actually stronger than death. That the goodness and the beauty of God that we hung up on a cross one day is still alive. And it's loose in the world. This, my friends, is the good news of Easter, that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Years ago, I used to worry and fret about Easter Sunday sermons. You know, big crowd and all of that, big service. And I gradually figured out that people weren't here for the sermons, they were here for the music, right? That's okay, I'm cool with that. But I still worried because I had to say something, right? And this is the Sunday when there are people who are here who maybe aren't here that often, and you want to show that at some level these resurrection accounts make sense, because this is what it all hangs on, right? I mean, either he rose from the dead or he didn't. The Christian faith hangs in the balance. Over the years, I've kind of calmed down on that a little bit. And I've moved to see Easter maybe from a different angle. To understand that these stories that we have in the Gospels, which are so different, even in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, with all of their twists and turns and different characters, that these stories are really about people responding to an event that absolutely transcends language. And that if they matter at all, it's because they're not really about ancient history. They're about our history, here and now. I've come to see that what matters on Easter Sunday is not whether Christ's body was raised to life so many years ago, but whether the body of Christ, all of us, can once again be raised into life and action to follow Jesus. Clarence Jordan is one of my faith heroes, author of the Cotton Patch Gospels, founder of Koinonia Farms, out of which Habitat for Humanity was birthed. Clarence Jordan once said this: "The proof that God raised Jesus from the dead is not the empty tomb, but the full hearts of transformed disciples. The crowning evidence that he lives is not a vacant grave, but a spirit-filled fellowship, not a rolled-away stone, but a carried-away church." So this Easter Sunday, I'm not looking around for empty tombs. I'm not snooping and scoping out mysterious appearances and bodies that can move through walls. I'm looking for full hearts. Are you? I'm seeking the spirit-filled. How about you? I'm wondering if we are a church that is carried away into mission by God's Spirit, or if we are a church that is stuck in a rut. For Clarence Jordan, the cross and the resurrection, they were current events. And believing or disbelieving them was not a matter of giving assent to certain propositions about empty tombs and dead bodies coming alive, but taking a stand now for everything and everyone that Jesus ever loved and ever will love. Amen? Here's Jordan again. The resurrection places Jesus on this side of the grave, in the midst of this life. The good news of the resurrection is not that we shall die and go home with him, but that he has risen and comes home with us, bringing all of his hungry, naked, thirsty, sick prisoner brothers with him. Oh, if you're like me, you were good until I read that last line, weren't you? Yeah. Maybe in that case, we might prefer resurrection in the by and by, because it's kind of scary when we think that Jesus is still out there and in here, and he brings with him all of his friends. Irish theologian Peter Rollins, whom I've been trying somewhat successfully, I hope, to channel this Holy Week, Peter was once asked about his writing. And didn't he, in fact, in some of his books, actually deny the resurrection? Peter, in his inimitable style, said, "Without hesitation, I fully and completely admit that I deny the resurrection of Christ. This is something that anyone who knows me could tell you, and I'm not afraid to say it publicly, no matter what some people may think." Now that he has your attention, he continued, "I deny the resurrection every time I do not serve at the feet of the oppressed. Each day that I turn my back on the poor, I deny the resurrection of Christ when I close my ears to the cries of the downtrodden and lend my support to an unjust and corrupt system." In other words, denying the resurrection is about running away from this world, perhaps to the next one, or maybe into fantasy. Running from suffering, avoiding meeting our neighbor authentically. And so for most of us mere mortals, this means that in spite of what we say almost every Sunday morning with our lips, we too deny the resurrection. There are times, though, when we believe it. This past Thursday, after services, a choir member approached me and asked about the folks who were sleeping out there in the alley. I was really tired, and I was feeling that achy, heavy-headedness of allergies and oak fever, and I really wanted to go home. But she was persistent. She wanted to take the communion bread and share it with the folks in the alley. Actually, what I think she really wanted to do was she wanted to meet them, and she wanted to let them know that they are loved and valued, because she had been in worship, and that's what her response was to Monday Thursday worship, was to share that love of neighbor with those folks right outside our building. "Do you want me to go with you?" These words just sort of came out of my mouth. I don't know what part of my head, but some part that does not engage with rational thought. My legs are heading to the car, right? And she is tugging me by the sleeve to come with her to the alley. And so we went. There were three of them, three guys, sound asleep. It reminded me of the disciples who, after the Last Supper, had slept in the garden while Jesus prayed. We called to them, and one woke up, and we shared bread with Ray. And he kept raising his hand to us as if he were blessing us and giving us a sign of peace. He was so grateful that we had seen him, that we had spoken to him. And so I guess you could say we had communion all over again, out in the back alley. I've discovered over the years that when you are more deeply engaged with this world, when you're willing to embrace brokenness, when you're willing to look at others and even at yourself without fear, If you're willing to meet, actually meet your neighbor, you just might be affirming the resurrection. To say, I believe in the resurrection, as we say in many of our creeds, it means all of this, but it also means so much more. It means that we will not stand for a sanitized Easter, wiped clean by talk about the sweet by and by, washed down with chocolate bunnies and gilded with Easter lilies. On the contrary, we will proclaim from the rooftops that a Jesus-style Easter means that those who are on the margins are given primacy of place. That we will create a space where the poor are blessed. That pro-life means pro-all children, all of God's children, and especially pro-Mother Earth. That black lives matter, and queer lives matter, and undocumented lives matter, because resurrection, my friends, it marks the end of Caesar's way of doing business. And resurrection announces that there is a new kingdom at hand where peace and compassion reign. Amen? May you and I, this Easter day, find the courage to hear that voice, the deep whispers of Jesus, to live more generously, to love more extravagantly, to serve and to bear witness more courageously. For Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.